The resurrecting spirit. Appropriate for a title after Easter. And as I was thinking about this, I came across this story from Pastor Jagger at St. Matthew's Lutheran Church down in Hollywood. So Pastor Jagger shares this story. I remember I stopped dead in my tracks. I had been walking along the flat, dark shale bed of the ravine behind my grandfather's farmhouse in southern Indiana. There on the ground, still in perfect alignment, lay the skeleton of a cow that had wandered away one winter many years ago and had slipped and fallen into the ravine. The bones lay in precise order. The head bone connected to the neck bone connected to the backbone, and so on. All the cow skeleton seemed to need was a breath of life, and all its bones would rise up and scamper back to the side of the ravine, back home to the paddock for fresh water and hay, and to join the company of the herd. This was just the skeleton of a single cow. Now imagine a valley filled with skeletons, human bones, brittle, bleached, and scattered on the parched ground. A valley full of bones. And so Ezekiel's vision is probably the one vision that most people are familiar with and remember most about Ezekiel. Ezekiel prophesied to the Israelites not while they were living in the promised land, but while they were living in exile. While the Israelites integrated quickly into the economy of the Babylonians, they still managed to be a distinct ethnic and social community. However, the effects of being taken into exile left the Israelites with an intense theological shock. While they had lived in the promised land, they had maintained a sort of confidence in God. They had maintained their confidence that God was obligated to rescue them, because they based their confidence on God's never-changing promises. You know, the promise from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David. The promise that God would never leave them nor forsake them. That David's house, David's kingdom, kingship would last forever. But then when Jerusalem fell at the hands of the Babylonians, and the temple was destroyed, the place where God's presence rested, and the kingship, the household and line of David was cut off, and the people moved and exiled from the land that they were living in, the spiritual fallout was more intense, more difficult to deal with than the physical exile. I imagine being carried off into exile left the Israelites with many questions about God. Questions about God's ability to take effective action against enemies. Maybe they felt betrayed by God. Abandoned by God. In fact, maybe they were even angry. And so this is the audience that Ezekiel faced as he was proclaiming this prophecy to them. An audience that was a bit cynical, a bit bitter, and a bit angry. And so as we saw, Ezekiel's vision opens up with him going to this valley. And this valley isn't a pristine valley, a valley of a that might make the cover of the National Geographic magazine, but rather it was a valley full of bones. Dry, bleached bones. And Ezekiel is amazed by the number of bones that are scattered throughout this valley. And this picture of hopelessness echoes and illustrates Israel's hopelessness that they felt. That they cry out in verse 11, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. No life remains at all. The Israelites feel like dry bones. The Israelites feel as good as dead. Is there any hope for these dry bones to live again? This is the question that God poses to Ezekiel. Is there hope for these dry bones to live again? Pastor Doug Bratt reminds us that the world remains full of people who are dry bones, dead to their sins. Some of them are in our families and circle of friends, in our workplaces and our neighborhoods. Death haunts places where life doesn't thrive. So perhaps you're here this morning on the Sunday after Easter Sunday, and instead of feeling joyful and grateful, you feel like you're walking through a valley full of death and dry bones. Perhaps it's a physical space. Perhaps it is your work space. You look at your coworkers, and by the world standards, they look alive and well and are thriving, but deep down, they are dead, spiritually dead. Or perhaps that valley of dry bones is your neighborhood, where the noise is only silence and seclusion, rather than a noise of joy and togetherness. Or perhaps your valley isn't a physical place at all, but a broken relationship. Maybe it's a broken relationship between a child and you, and you rarely ever talk to your child. Or maybe that broken relationship, if you're a child, is between you and your parents, and you wish that your parents weren't so distant. Or perhaps this morning, you come here this morning feeling as good as dead. Your faith feels more like bleached bones, dry and brittle, rather than being alive and breathing. You come here this morning feeling the weight of your sin, knowing that each day you don't love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all your strength. And each day you fail to thank God. Each day looks like living life without God. Each day you're looking for freedom outside of God, but all you find is death. So perhaps you come here feeling this morning as if your relationship with God feels more like dried, bleached bones. Is there any hope for life again? Can God breathe resurrection life into these dry bones? And Ezekiel knows that resurrection is possible, but only if there is a body to revive, a body with flesh and bone, with flesh and muscles and tendons, not dry, bleached bones. And so Ezekiel displays a courageous act of courage and obedience. Ezekiel casts himself entirely upon God's will and power. And so God commands Ezekiel to prophesy to the dry bones. God says, "I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." And so in God's words, prophesied through Ezekiel, we hear not the words of death, but the words of life. the reversal of decomposition. God doesn't simply want to reconstruct the physical body or even physical life itself, but God wants and desires a spiritual revival, a new recognition of the relationship between Him and His people, a new, restored relationship with Him. And so Ezekiel does as God commands. Ezekiel prophesies to the dry bones, and the bones begin to come to life. Bone to bone, the foot bone connected to the leg bone connected to the hip bone connected to the spine, and so on and so forth. Imagine you are Ezekiel and you see all of these bones come together. And then they start to get ligaments and muscle. And then finally, skin. Bodies that are able for resurrection. But the process stops. And as missiologist Christopher Wright points out, what advantage has a lifeless corpse over a lifeless skeleton? Nothing. No breath, no life, no hope. And so it's here at this point in the vision that the spirit breath of God comes on the scene. And so in the midst of the continuing silence of death, God speaks again. God tells Ezekiel to prophesy once again by saying, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe new life into these slain, that they may live.'" And so Ezekiel prophesies just as God commanded. And this time the dead bodies are filled with life. The bodies rise up. And so throughout this vision, we see this word, Ruach. Right? We see this word to represent wind, breath, and the Spirit of God. And in this moment, all three come together. We see the wind, the natural wind coming. We see breath, and the dead bodies begin to breathe. And we see the Spirit of God is the one that causes this life to happen. All three come together to give life out of utter deadness. And this scene of the bodies coming back to life, hopefully triggers another story in your memory. Way back in the beginning, the story of God creating humanity in Genesis chapter 2. And just like in Ezekiel's vision, God first fashions humanity out of the lifeless dust of the earth. And so on a biological level, we share the same molecules as plants and other animals. But then God breathes His life into humanity. God gives life to the lifeless. And so here we again see God giving life to the lifeless. We see the unique life-giving power of the Creator God, again breathing life into inert human flesh and bringing forth the miracle of life again. The Israelites feel cut off. They feel as good as dead, and this vision of Ezekiel is meant to give hope to the Israelites. God promises the Israelites that there is going to be a living future. that they will return from exile. That God will indeed restore his people back to himself. And so what God is promising to do for Israel, God is also promising to do for all of humanity. Just as Israel's sin and punishment mirrors the fallenness of the human race, so too does Israel's restoration prefigure God's gracious purpose of redemption for all humanity. The resurrection of Israel, the restoration of Israel, anticipates our resurrection. And so God promises to breathe life-giving life. And God promises to give our bodies resurrection life. Take a moment to look at this painting entitled Ezekiel's Vision by British painter and artist David Bomberg. What do you see? Do you see just a bunch of stick figures? Or maybe you're just noticing the colors of white and the various shades of darker colors, browns and blacks. But notice how, as a whole, everything works together. Notice how the darks and light colors give the stick figures a sense of life. Notice that how the stick figures look alive and animated, but also aren't alive at the same time. And so the raising of the dry bones is a hope for Israel. And the rising of the dry bones is hope for us too. And at the center of this promise stands the risen Jesus. We celebrated that last week with Easter. Jesus, the Lord of life, summons the breath of God and commands and gives the breath of the Spirit to his disciples. The resurrection, the resurrected Jesus, the life-giving Jesus, is the fulfillment of the promise made in Ezekiel 37, the vision of the dry bones. And so what the disciples were hoping for, a restoration of relationship with God, they soon realize is completed through Jesus Christ. And so the resurrection and redemption and revival of Israel is embodied in the resurrection of Jesus the Messiah. And that process, that end goal, the resurrected Jesus, is the first stage of God's great project of restoring humanity. The breath that breathed life into the dead came from the four winds. That is, the Spirit of God is at work everywhere and in the world and in all directions. This reminds me of a story of a person lying on a surgical table. And at a moment in the surgery comes a crisis. It's clear that that the doctors and nurses are losing the patient. The EKG monitor flatlines. It doesn't show a heart beating. So instead of giving up, the head doctor calls for a crash cart. He rubs together the paddles, yells clear, and sends an electrical shock through the patient's heart. But no response. So he calls for another shock. He calls clear again. still nothing. And for a third time, he calls clear and gives a third shock to the heart. And all eyes are turned towards the monitor, and they watch and wait. And then they see the line go up and down. The heart is beating once again. A life has been saved. And so, like the story, or like the doctor in the story, the one that calls clear and offers the life-giving medicine through the crash cart, the Holy Spirit is at work bringing our spiritually dead bodies back to life through faith. And in doing so, our obedience and our faith is renewed and fresh. The Spirit of God who raises the dead bodies in Ezekiel's vision is the same one who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, who is the same power that is given to us as disciples of Jesus Christ, who is able to bring life, salvation, and hope of a bodily resurrection to all who believe in Jesus. So the Spirit of God is our advocate and counselor who speaks the truth of God into our lives, even as we still deal with the death of sin that clings to us, sin that seeks to drive us away from God. And the Spirit of God is also our comforter, who promises never to leave us nor to forsake us, who in our moments of utter weakness, where we can't seem to put our inward groanings of prayers into words, promises to intercede on our behalf. The Spirit of God lives and works in us so that we don't have to be anxious about everything, about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, we can bring our requests before God. So, people of God, can these dry bones live? I hope we're quietly shouting yes, along with Ezekiel. Yes, God, you can bring life back into dead, dry bones. By your Spirit, by your breath. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.